Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I am Shannon.
And I'm Cassie.
Hey.
Thanks for joining us again. You guys, I don't think you understand how excited we get.
For real. We get an email and we're like, we got fan mail.
Yes.
Kind of. Like, it's
okay,
fun.
So my friend Lacey told some of her friends about our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And she had tagged me on something personally, like on her personal page. And And I commented on it. And then her friend Sabrina, oh my God, Sabrina, if you're listening, you made my day. I don't think you understand. When she was like, Cassie, I'm fangirling right now. I listen to your podcast and everything. And like,
that's amazing.
That is so exciting. So Sabrina, thank you for, I don't think you understand how much you made my day.
Seriously. Those were the things. It's just a little comment.
It's so exciting.
I know.
And then our Podbean, who we host podcast through, shows us Canada. You guys, like, we just keep getting more Canadian listeners. Listen, poutine sounds amazing.
I know. Seriously.
Gravy and cheese.
I like them both.
Say no more.
Yeah,
I'm there
for it. If we can make some friends in Canada, please.
We've got listeners all over
Australia.
France. Australia. We've got several there.
It's insane. We hit over, 4,000 downloads?
We're now at over 4,000 downloads, you guys. So thank you
so
much.
It's like, yeah. I mean, and even when just people are like, the other day I was at a thing at my daughter's school and a mom I knew there was like, hey, by the way, I've been loving your podcast. You know, and I was like, just the little comments like that are so nice. And I was like,
and I know
thank
we always say that you guys, you know, we ask for suggestions to email us or message us with any stories you have, but you don't have to, like, even if you just want to say, hey, I don't think you understand how much we love it.
Seriously. Like, I mean, people we know, people we don't know, it's cool. I was just, it's really like, it's just humbling and, you know.
Well, and it's fun, and especially being two women who are recording currently on a phone in a car in a garage. Mm,
to avoid loud barking dogs.
And because we're still in the process of figuring out software. Listen, part of it is this is a hobby. We're both busy. I'm not going to lie. We've dropped the ball a little bit on getting into software. We found some stuff. We just haven't, like, deep dived into it to see if it's going to be right for us yet. But we're getting
there. It's just a busy time of year. It's like nearing end of school, and there's just tons of things going on, and so I think now though we're gonna start to settle.
Hopefully our next episode is recorded not on my phone.
I mean, I think it still sounds okay, you know, like I think we can have better quality
for sure.
You guys
are still listening, so we appreciate that,
and that's a goal for us. I mean, soonish, so
know that we are getting there. We promise. I know we've been saying it, but again, you know, this isn't our full-time job by any means.
That would be sweet if it was.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad about it.
I know.
So, you guys, we just wanted to say thank you.
Yes.
We appreciate you all so much, all of our new listeners, all of our listeners who have been here since the beginning. You are all so amazing. So thank you so much. But with that, Shannon, are you ready to tell us
a
tale this week?
I sure am. So this month or month this week, what are we in? See, it's been a long one. Okay.
Well, I mean, when this airs, it'll be May.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be May.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Shout out to NSYNC. Okay.
And the Justin Timberlake.
Yes. Okay, so this week we are going to Wisconsin, since that is still part of the Heartland area. So when I first started looking for Wisconsin cases, I had no idea that a ton of well-known cases and criminals come from Wisconsin. Like, is it just because there's not a lot to do? Or is it, what is it?
They have a lot of cheese.
They have great cheese. If you haven't had a cheese curd from Wisconsin,
I don't think I've ever been to Wisconsin.
Oh, I have family that lives there. They moved from Arizona to Wisconsin. Like, quite the change, right?
Yeah, that's like that one case you did where it was California to North Dakota.
I was like, ew. I mean, but honestly, they live in this really cute little town. It's like a little quaint, small town like you see in the movies, you know, I feel like. And I always loved to go visit them because I thought it was such a pretty area. I mean, this part that we were in. So, So I, you know, started looking. And so, okay, a lot of the killers that came from there, I just wanted to point out, Jeffrey Dahmer is Wisconsin. Did not know that.
I guess I never paid attention.
I know. I guess you don't really think about it. You just know everything that they did and how terrible it was. But he was a Wisconsin guy. Ed Gein.
Ed Gein.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He's from there. The Northside Strangler. The Slender Man stabbing thing.
Yes,
that's
with the Wisconsin teenage girls.
Yes. Where they, the girl didn't die.
No, God. She didn't, but, luckily. But yeah,
they had stabbed her, I don't even know how many times. Wasn't it
at least 12 times?
It was, yes.
And they were like 12 or 13?
Yes, it was a gross one.
Yeah. I think there's a documentary on HBO about it.
Yes, I think there is, too.
I think it's just called Slender Man or something like that.
Now I want to watch it, because I think you're right, and I do remember seeing that. Yeah, that one, speaking of that, Stephen Avery, the whole Teresa Halbach making a murderer, that's a Wisconsin one, too, which I think I knew that at the time. Did you ever watch that documentary on Netflix?
I watched the first season. Same. I never watched the second.
I didn't either. I don't know why. I felt like the first season was so good, though, and just interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know why I never went back. I just, same. I don't know.
It took me a bit to get into the first season.
Oh, really? See, I was
the first
like,
couple episodes.
Loved that.
It was a good one. I guess
I still don't know where I stand on that. I feel like I want to say I don't think he's fully innocent. But
I think the nephew is innocent completely.
That one, yes. Especially when they show them, you know, like interrogating him.
But then I wonder
him,
about the older nephew, because when you're looking at that and they talk about the scratches he had and all these things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know that they were all there, you know what I mean, as far as like
the older cousin was up, but the yeah, one who, why can't I not think of
is it Brendan yeah
Brendan Avery. I think he was just completely manipulated by the police.
He was, and it was a sad thing.
And I'm sorry if reading Kiss the Girls makes you a murderer. I would be a murderer.
We would be locked up.
I read that book in high school, yes. Too. Some of like, what kind of high school read?
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm sorry, I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I probably read a lot of other creepy, weird things that are questionable.
I read V.C. Andrews books.
Yeah.
In junior high.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers in the Attic. I'm sorry.
Some of that stuff is very creepy.
Well, and then V.C. Andrews has a ghostwriter then, and they just went on that whole incestual thing on all the books then, the ghostwriter. I was like, okay, listen.
No, too far.
Yeah.
Too far.
All right.
I gotta draw the line
getting
there.
Off topic there. But I feel like V.C. yeah. Andrews is kind of a little more suspect sometimes.
So they're like clearly grasping for straws there.
Right. So yeah, I think Brendan, that's a clear case of someone with a lower IQ.
Yes, they took advantage of.
Being taken advantage of. No parent, no lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So Steven, I'm on the fence about a little bit. I still think there was some.
I think there was.
Yeah. I think there was some planting of evidence and stuff there. Whether or not he was still
the key,
guilty,
like
or not.
Right out in the open.
Yeah,
suddenly.
That wasn't. Yeah. There. Yes.
And the shoes.
And the drop of blood.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Wow. Sorry. That's but that's why I was like, I didn't realize that was Wisconsin. I mean, I'm sure I did at the time when I watched it, but I kind of forgot.
I don't retain states. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Like, I know the cases, but I won't remember necessarily where they're at.
I know. I didn't either. And then the Oak Creek Sikh temple shooting. Do you remember that? I want to say that was like 2012-ish, maybe.
It sounds familiar.
And I can't remember, but a guy went into this temple and there was a bunch.
So, because it was, I mean, 2012 wouldn't have been very long after. Yeah. So we still had a lot of xenophobia. Well, I mean, not that there's not still. But, right. I mean, where it was rampant.
Yes. And that was, it was just
I do brutal. Remember that one.
Yeah. It was very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all Wisconsin. So I just kind of wanted to like start with that because I started researching and I was like, oh, there's like a lot going on there that I was not aware of. So
Oklahoma kind of was the same because I'm researching for the next one for Oklahoma, and that has
a bunch of like bigger cases.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of their cases from Wisconsin and Oklahoma, because I was kind of looking around there. Go back to like the 1920s. Did you see that?
Yes.
I was like, oh my.
I love some of those old cases.
I know.
Too.
Some of them, though, it's interesting, especially because they didn't have the kind of evidence. But,
right.
So the case that I picked for today, I literally was at the end of my, I don't know what I was, at the end of my rope, whatever, because I could not find a case because I wanted to find it something that was different than some of the previous cases we had done that's not always the same not stereotypical, they're all sad, but so this is going to be the case of Ezra McCandless. I believe that's how you say that.
Okay.
Sorry if I'm wrong, guys. I apologize. So I got a lot of research for this off of course, you know, a lot of different law, criminal sites, and that kind of thing. And then there is a documentary that I watched. It was on Paramount Plus. It was like a 48 hours episode. So I'll give you the deets of that at the end. And we'll post it in the show notes. It was actually a really good documentary. So, so we're just going to kind of start with Ezra. So Ezra's who we're talking about. Ezra's a female. So Ezra McCandless was actually born as Monica Kay on October 6, 1997. She was born in Stanley, Wisconsin, and her mom was only 14 years old when she had her. So, can you imagine? Gosh. And her bio dad was not involved at all. So, kind of gives you the little background on that. But her mom kept her and raised her and all that. So, eventually, you know, her mom gets married, and then the partner, her mom's partner, adopted her when she was 4. So she was super close with him, and then her parents ended up getting divorced when she was 12. So, not maybe super important, but just kind of the little bit of a background on her and where she came from. So, she goes to high school, and throughout high school, Ezra really just explored her identity and tried several different names. That was when she legally changed her name. So technically, I guess she was still Monica, but she was going by Ezra up until this point.
Okay.
So she goes and legally changes her name to Ezra. And then she picked the last name of McCandless as her last name because she wanted it to be after Chris McCandless, who was the life subject of a book, Into the Wild.
Oh, Into the Wild. I never watched
I never or did read either.
It, but apparently... Isn't it super sad? Doesn't he, like, die at the end?
I feel like, yeah.
And everyone goes on this trip where, like
yeah.
He still dies. Like, uh-huh. He died, people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and that's, once again, I should have looked to see how you say that. I don't know if that's the correct. Yeah. But that's who, she said that that was the right fit for her. Okay. So,
I just want to clarify, though.
Yes.
She's still she, her. It. This wasn't.
Yeah, no. She.
This was just a name change, nothing
just
else.
A name change, yes. So. She did kind of struggle with, and I talk about this a little bit later, she kind of struggles a little bit with, like, her identity.
Her gender identity.
Yeah, and so, but she's still she, her, female at this point, too. I mean, and she is throughout the whole thing. Sorry, I should have clarified that.
No, I just wanted, that was one thing.
Yeah.
Especially because Ezra, you typically hear as a male name.
Yes.
But, I mean, my daughter has a kind of more masculine name.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I guess I wouldn't think of it that way, but it just depends on, who you ask, really. So, yeah. So, Ezra was Monica, but she's still female, just wanted a new name.
Okay. Perfect.
She didn't feel like a Monica, I guess, which, okay.
I just wanted to clarify that aspect of it.
I'm glad you did, because I should have brought that up. So, she was always just, like, a very artistic person, kind of edgy. She even had, like, a white car, and she treated it as a canvas, and so, like, I'll have to post a picture. She painted all over it. There's, like, a big bird on the top of it. Like, just,
my friend,
you know.
And I, in high school, my friend had a Nova.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brown. And we took acrylic paints and we painted all over
it. Oh, my gosh.
Stuff. We
That's
named
so
it.
Funny.
She was super into Johnny Depp at the time. So we named it, like, after a bunch of, like, his characters and stuff. I don't even fully remember. I don't know if she listens to this or not.
That's funny.
But we totally painted
That's
her
amazing.
Car.
And Johnny Depp's kind of hot right now in the news with his
well,
whole trial thing.
In a good way.
Yeah, just hot topic. I guess yes, I should say. Yeah. I love Johnny Depp.
He's None of his problematic stuff came out mm-hmm. at that time. You know, this was like 2005, 2004. Yeah. So
he was Jack Sparrow at that
yes.
time. So
yes, he was. I think we called it like the Wandering Sparrow or something. Oh, it had this whole long detail.
That's so
name.
Funny. I don't know anyone that actually painted their car. So when I saw this, I was like, well, there's an idea.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
So it kind of just shows how she was very, you know, she was just loved to do that kind of thing. And so after high school, then she goes to college just briefly. She ends up dropping out and then moved to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So in the summer of 2017 is when she meets her friend, let's see, Jason Mengel. Sorry, that was the name. I hope that's the way you say that as well. So she was only 19 at this time, but Jason was 33. So, quite a bit older, but...
Try not to mangle that last name.
Okay. All right. That was a good one. Mangle, the last name of Mangle. Oh, my God. That was good.
All right. So, she's 19. He's 33. 33. I mean, I guess at least she's technically legal at this point.
And I mean, yeah. He said, you know, because on the documentary and stuff, they talked to him and all the things. And you can, you know, it just said that they, like, clicked immediately. It was this crazy spark. And so... They hit it off, and he was actually a National Guard medic, so that's what he did for a living. So they start dating, and then they move in together in the fall, so only after a couple months of dating. So they move in, and they were just super in love. Everybody said they had just an electric relationship. So they would hang out a lot at a local coffee shop down in Eau Claire called Racy's. So... This is where they met Alex Woodworth. So Alex was a 23-year-old. He was a substitute teacher, and he also worked as a barista at that coffee shop that they went to a lot. So naturally going there a lot. They get to know him. He's working a lot. They all become really good friends. And Jason said that he was just a super cool dude and like a nerd, but in a good way. So he was always researching philosophy. And so they all, since, you know, she was kind of artistic and stuff too, they all just hit it off really well. So they all became good friends. And Alex really loved to help people. He was the type of guy who just naturally did that. And Jason actually encouraged him and Ezra to hang out because he thought that they both could help each other with different things that they had in common and kind of struggled with. So Jason, I don't know, seems like a super cool dude, really.
Pretty laid back.
Like, yeah, no jealousy type thing.
Not like, the controlling, jealous type.
Which I guess that maybe that's an age difference thing there too. You know, like way mature. Right. I mean, way more mature at that point. So they, you know, so they hang out. So then, you know, still in the fall of 2017, probably just, I'm going to guess a month or so later, Ezra found out she was pregnant with Jason's baby. She ended up driving to Minnesota to have an abortion. She did not tell him. Ironically, she actually had the abortion on her birthday.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that spawned something in her. Maybe not. But shortly after that, she started having a secret relationship with Alex. So I don't know. That was the only little like snippet that I found about the pregnancy and the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I'm going to add that in there. I don't know that it's really relevant, but it could be, I guess, right. Maybe just something in her mind, some sort of connection with
Are
Jason because of that.
In Wisconsin, if she drove to Minnesota,
I don't know at that time. I don't know.
I guess I
can't
know
tell you. I'm not
states.
Up on that. Yeah. So yeah, that's what okay. she did. But so then doesn't tell him, but then starts a relationship with Alex on the side. So they continue secretly seeing each other for a few months. So that's the fall. So then if you kind of just go forward a couple months, so February of 2018, Jason was out of town for National Guard duty, since that's what he did. And Ezra was hanging out with Alex and one of Jason's friends named John. I think they just all like kind of had a bunch of friends that they yeah. all got along and hung out together. So after they hung out, Ezra claimed that she had been sexually assaulted by John. She said that she was so blackout drunk and she was passed out, and that's when he assaulted her. So it's just kind of this random thing. So she talks to the police. They investigate this claim, and they investigate it. They talk to Alex because Alex was there mm-hmm. when they were all drinking together. Alex said that her version of the events, that she said like none of that happened. And he said that the cops just eventually, they dropped the case because there was not enough evidence to support that statement. So because of that, she gets upset with Alex because she feels like
he betrayed her.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it happened or it didn't happen, but
at that point,
it's very weird.
At that random. Point, it's a he said, she said type thing. And unfortunately, if you have this person, I mean, who knows if Alex is telling the truth or lying?
Right.
Because right. if it happened, maybe he got jealous and
yeah.
he looked at it as consensual, but he was jealous, and so
or maybe it was yeah he was yeah jealous. It was like a payback thing, like
yeah
you're not yeah I'm not sure, but I think this part kind of sets up some of the future stuff we're going to talk about, just kind of showing, I mean, all the he said she said
yeah.
stuff. So because of that, you know, she's pissed. And so I don't know why, it doesn't really say, but during this like 2 week period while Jason's away working, she's allegedly assaulted. She ends up moving back with her mom, who lived in Stanley, Wisconsin. I don't think it was that far away mm-hmm. from Eau Claire, but that, I don't, I mean, that's a lot of things happening in a short amount of time, an abortion.
Yeah.
That getting assaulted. I don't know. So,
well, and if it happened in her house, and she probably wouldn't want to stay there alone.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that makes sense too. So all the while, it doesn't really even say anything about Jason acknowledging this or knowing about this. So he just comes back.
Okay. So she
is
may
not
have
informed
even told him.
About, so he doesn't know about the abortion.
Right.
And then he, at this point, does not know about this alleged assault. So I say alleged just because.
Because there's no. Yeah.
And I don't want to sound like heartless either way, but.
Yeah. Well, with that, it's so difficult because, again, when there's no actual prosecution, like no one being prosecuted for it or no actual charges, like.
It makes it. Yeah.
You can't really say it happened. You know,
way.
Alleged. You have
well,
to
and that's
say
a
alleged.
Hard thing to prove anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you really. It just sucks.
Yeah.
It's a bad situation.
It
so.
Is.
Jason comes back, and then at this point, him and Ezra are still together, but they would just meet at hotels, I guess, because I don't know. Maybe it was far enough away that, like, meeting halfway to see each other worked out.
Or, again, if she really can't handle being at the place.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And it didn't really say where this happened, so I don't know. But either way, if you're scared, you wouldn't want to be by yourself regardless. Or
if you wouldn't want to be by yourself, but then if it did happen at their house.
It's like a trigger.
Yeah, and you don't want to go back. And you're not going to want to try to get hooked up at your mom's.
Yeah, that's weird.
So I guess that would make sense as to why you're maybe going to hotels then.
Yeah, that makes more sense. So they do that. So during one of these visits, Jason goes through her phone at some point when she's asleep in the shower. I don't know, but
for being more mature. And
I know. I take it back. He reads all of her texts, and that's how he finds out about this alleged assault that involved both of his friends, John and Alex, because he knows now that...
Did he not wonder why his girlfriend moved out while he was gone and why they're now meeting at hotels?
Who knows? And I actually wish I could have found that information, because it could have also been used as more evidence down the road when we talk about what happens about, like, mental states.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But
okay. So, this is how he finds out.
He finds out. So, he's pissed at John for maybe assaulting her. Pissed at Alex because he finds out that she's having a relationship. Like, can you imagine that? Whoa.
Well, that's also why you don't go through your significant other's phone.
Yeah. So he's pissed, naturally. So he goes and confronts John and Alex at Racy's coffee shop. That's like the place that they're always at that kept popping up. So they all argue over this assault and the relationship. And so then he, you know, confirms that Ezra was cheating on him with Alex. So that just is confirmed, and he's pissed. So as Ezra finally admitted, though, that she had slept with John, but she just regretted it.
Oh.
So then that part was a little interesting, because I'm like, okay, wait. So she actually did, but she probably just didn't want them to find out about it necessarily, and so she claimed that she was raped. I'm like, these are the kind of things that can definitely start an issue.
Like, if that's the case, that's horrible. But is it then also a case of her being like, no one believed me, so I'm just saying this now?
I don't know.
It's a very tricky situation.
And it could, yeah. And I'm like, maybe not being believed could have caused what happens down the road, or it just proves that she has...
It's so hard to say. Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, I don't know. But so that whole thing goes down. She admits it. So Jason is like, peace out. I'm done. Like, I'm not doing this, you know?
Well, especially in your 30s.
Your friends both screwed you over.
Yeah.
And now your girlfriend, like, So he was just done, and he talked to Alex, and he said that he was pissed at Alex because they were friends, but he said it was more of like a conversation like, dude, why would you do that? Like, we are friends. That's not cool. That's literally what he said. Like, just, I don't know. He sounds mature in that sense more than like wanting to beat him or, you know what I mean? Kick his ass. Like, he's more just like,
well, he could also get into some serious issues being in the National Guard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So he's just kind of pissed, and I think just hurt by everybody.
Rightfully so.
Right. Yeah. So Ezra just is like so devastated, and now she's like really pissed at Alex, and she blames Alex for her relationship ending with Jason. Takes two people to like do that.
So you chose to sleep with Alex as well.
Correct. So she even texts Alex and says, don't, you know, ever talk to her again. And all the while, she just wanted Alex to try to admit to Jason that their relationship was a mistake, because she really wants Jason and she's trying to get him back and he's not having it.
That's one thing I've never understood about people who cheat and stuff. And then when the like main partner finds out and they leave, like, no, I want to be with you. Like, then why were you sleeping with someone else?
Right. And
I don't understand that.
And if you're going to cheat once, like, once a cheater, always a cheater.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't know about that. Like, I don't know. I think they're that young, like, maybe not always, you know, but
I know. I'm like, well, in any situations I've personally been in or know of, I'm like, and even if they don't, I feel like you always are going to know in your head, like, hey, you cheated or
listen,
whatever.
I know I can't let that go unforgiven. Personally, yeah. I know plenty. I've known several people who have been in relationships mm-hmm. where someone cheated and they still made a healthy relationship work. All the power to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know me. I know I'm not that person.
No, I could never. It's like once that trust is gone, it's gone.
I don't forgive easily.
Mm-hmm. No. So, yeah.
So okay. She wants to be with Jason.
Yes.
She's pissed at Alex.
Alex, yeah. Just tell Jason it was a mistake, this and that. So she would even just like make up stories to try to get Jason's attention and like make up people and stuff and like just to make him feel sorry for her, like yeah. things that were happening. And she even wrote in journals about how she felt so upset and she just was so sad and she hated that she had betrayed him. So she wrote in these journals and she wanted to deliver them to Jason in person. Like she wanted him to read them all to see how sorry she was. Which was, like, kind of a weird thing, I thought. But he was like, no, I don't want to see you. If you're sending him, it's going to be by other means. He was clearly done with her. Like, can you blame him? Come on. And it's getting weird now. Like, just go. Like, it's not attractive to be needy like that, too.
Also, you're a 33-year-old man. Maybe you should have realized that a 19-year-old girl...
Also true.
Is gonna...
Mm-hmm. So it's probably not going to work. So, okay. So, it's going to get a little sketchy coming up here now with the actual crime here that we're getting to. So, on March 22nd of 2018, Ezra just randomly shows up to Racy's coffee shop. So, she doesn't really go in there anymore. She doesn't live there. She's back. She goes in there and Jason happens to be there. She said that she was just going to Alex's place because she was going to return items to him. This is what she tells Jason. And Jason said she was acting really weird and just agitated. He said he didn't feel right about how she just, her demeanor was when she left the coffee shop. So he just followed his intuition and he rode his bike to Alex's house looking for Ezra. He said that he cared for both of them, even though they had both hurt him. And he was just worried that something was going on because of how she was acting. I mean, like when you know someone,
right?
You can sense when something's off. Like, you still care.
Yeah. And it sounds like he was probably a bit more mature in that aspect of being like, you know what? Yeah, you screwed me over, but something's clearly not okay.
Right.
So that's...
And they even show, like, on this documentary, you can see the footage. They have, like, the surveillance just in that coffee shop. And she just seems... I mean, I don't know her, so it's hard to tell, but you can just tell that she seems agitated, I guess. Yeah. So he follows her there and he gets there and he sees her car. So she had a 2003 Chevy Impala, the white one with, that was painted on. It was parked outside Alex's house and it was still running. So it said that he waited for about 45 minutes. I don't know why. Because I think he was trying to give them privacy, but he still was like, I don't know what's going on. But he just like paced around outside, which obviously that's going to look weird to anybody too.
Right.
So eventually he just goes in. He doesn't knock. He said he walks in and Ezra and Alex were in the middle of a conversation and that they weren't like fighting, but he could tell they were in the middle of something. So he like encouraged them and suggested them to maybe just like talk in a public place because he said he didn't know everyone's mindset because he felt like something was off. So he goes back outside. And by the time he goes outside, the cops are there because a passerby had called.
So a weird guy pacing for
45 minutes. Yes. So the cops are there and, Jason tells the cops that he was just concerned because of how Ezra was acting and she wasn't herself at all. And he wanted to see what was going on. So then you can see the cops talking to them and whatnot. And so the police dash cam shows the cop, like on the video I watched too, you can see him. He's talking to Alex, who's standing next to Ezra's car, and she was sitting in the driver's seat the whole time. So they talked to everyone involved, and around 1:50-ish that afternoon, the cops said that there was really no problem. They think everything was good to go, so they left. So Jason goes and talks to Alex one more time, I guess, before he leaves. And you can even see that still on the cam, the dash cam. It's kind of crazy because it says on there then that that's the last time that Jason actually sees Alex ever again. So it's kind of a moment where you're like, okay, weird, right? So that was around 1:50. So later that day, around 4:15 p.m., Don Sipple is his name. He's a sweet older man. He was a dairy farmer out in that area. He said there was a knock at his door. he was getting ready to sit down for dinner, which I was like, wait, 4:15? But then I was like, oh yeah, he's old. That's like time for that senior citizen hour.
Listen,
and
I won't lie.
And parents with kids, yeah. I'll say that too, because I hear you. Like,
there have been times we've had dinner and yeah, it's like 4:15, 4:30.
Yeah, I had Chipotle delivered here the other day at like after I picked up my daughter from school because I was so hungry, but awkwardly they like took it to the house next door, and so my neighbor brought it over. She was like, hey, your Chipotle came to our house. I was like, okay, don't judge me that I'm eating at 4 o'clock.
Listen,
it was that awkward moment. I was like, hey, I have a kid, thanks, don't judge.
Listen, some of us get hungry earlier in the day, okay?
Yes. And there's not a bad time for Chipotle, okay?
So no, there's really not.
Okay, so he's getting ready to eat when someone's at the door, so he answers the door and it's Ezra. She's at his door, she's covered in blood, mud, and bruises. She had blood around her mouth, he said, he commented on. And she was barefoot. So she's hysterical. She asks for a doctor and said she had been assaulted. So he brings her inside, of course, and it's cold. It's what, February or March?
March.
You know,
Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin. Yeah. So it's cold. So he finds a blanket. He's just sweet. He said he gave her a blanket because she seemed really cold, and he calls 911, and you can hear that call too on that documentary. And so like you can even hear her in the background. She's hysterical. She's crying, saying she's so scared. So the paramedics arrive and end up taking her to the hospital. The whole time, she just keeps asking for Jason. Anytime they ask her who they need to contact, she just keeps saying, Jason Mangle, you can hear it over and over and over. So they, you know, then are trying to ask her what happened, and she can't remember anything, which is can be normal. I mean, if you black out or whatever.
Or you're in shock.
Yeah, and you're just, it's traumatic. So she doesn't know. So then, you know, she's at the hospital, they're treating her, and all the while, you know, they knew that she had been with Alex earlier that day since they had shown up to the house and all that. So they obviously are looking for Alex, and they can't find him anywhere. So they look at his house, they tried his cell phone, which just went to voicemail. They even reached out to his family, and the family was super concerned that he had been in an accident or something, because he was just like a good kid, never in trouble or anything. So they thought that was really bizarre. So the next day, they're kind of at a loss of where to look, which I don't know why they didn't look around the dairy farm anyway, if she was there. I mean, initially starting at that point and like tracing back, don't know. But that was my thought. So they go back to look around that area, and maybe they just didn't expand far enough out or something when they initially looked. So as they're looking, they find bloody footprints, and they follow them. And so then it leads to a road that was kind of further back in the woods kind of area, and they immediately can see Ezra's car. So her car's there, and it's stuck in mud. And because it was just, you know, a dirt road back there in the middle of nowhere.
And as snow's melting and stuff
It's gross. And so they see her car, and immediately they see a body hanging out of the back seat on the driver's side. And they said immediately they knew it was Alex. So on the documentary, and they talked to the investigator, they're like, were you unsure? What did you think? He said, no, we could tell, like, immediately. Don't know what it was that triggered them on that, but it was, he was hanging out the back seat, dead. So they said that it was like the most gruesome crime scene that they had ever seen. And it had been a very, very violent attack. Alex had suffered 16 stab wounds in the head, neck, groin, and torso.
Oh.
Yes. So that's what they have there. So then back to Ezra. So she initially said that she was unable to recall what had happened when she was first interviewed. So they find Alex's body in her car, and they tell her. And then she eventually remembers that she said he attacked her, and that she had not been able to get it out of her head. And I was like, but wait, you just didn't remember anything, but now you can't get it out of your head? Like, it was weird.
Yeah.
She immediately was like, yeah, that happened. He attacked me. I just can't get it out of my head. So that was kind of weird. They're like, what? Also, they noticed, so when they had first taken her to the hospital, you know, she was covered in all sorts of cuts and all the things. And on her like forearm, the word boy had been freshly carved into her arm. So she said that when she was attacked, that Alex carved that into her arm, because she said that he always called her boy because he knew that she had questioned her gender when she was in high school. which was like a very weird thing. And I will post a picture of that too, because there's a picture of it. And they were so confused about that. So
was it on her non-dominant arm though? Like, did she do this to herself?
Mm-hmm. So this is where it gets weird. So they're like, oh my gosh, he did that. And she said, yeah, he was in the driver's seat when he did it. So then they get to thinking, okay, if he was really in the driver's seat and he's right-handed, that would not have been possible, because he would have had to be turned a certain angle for how it was in her arm. So they determine all that. And they're like, that's not possible. So then they ask her again, and you hear her on this, you know, interview too. They said, okay, so you said Alex carved this into your arm. And she said, yeah. And they said, but did you actually carve it into your arm? And she said, uh-huh. So that, and that was just very bizarre, very nonchalant. Uh-huh. She said, yep, sure did. She never gives a reason for that either. I will add on later that why she went to that extreme to carve that into her arm.
Especially to give up so easily. Like, yeah, you're right. You got me.
Yeah. It was weird. Just, I mean, clearly there's a lot going on there. So she doesn't give a reason, but she admits that she had done that to herself. So, I mean, you know, they start questioning all the things then at this point. So, you know, she's describing the attack that she remembers now. She describes the attack and said that they ended up in the back seat. So he starts attacking her in the back seat. She said that he cuts her pants off. She said it was the scariest thing she's ever experienced. She said that she grabbed the knife from him on the end of it, and that's why she cut her hand. So her hand had a very superficial cut, and the weapon that they found later in a ditch, it's like a very long one, and the end of it was like
serrated.
Yes, thank you. I was gonna say jagged, like I couldn't think of what the word serrated. I was looking for, but very much so. They're like, if she would have grabbed it, they said it would have like flayed her hand open.
Yeah,
which is
Because it's like that one documentary we watched. The one where he was asleep and he supposedly killed his friend while he was asleep. He had that massive cut on his hand, and it was a horrible wound. Didn't they say they could see bone?
Yes. And like,
so, and that's, if you're struggling for a knife.
Yeah. There's no way.
Especially a knife with a serrated blade. You're not grabbing it lightly. You're grabbing it. You're not thinking about how you're grabbing it and you're pulling. Yes. So yeah, you're gonna,
it's going to be worse. And it was just like, I mean, it was a cut, but it was a very, very superficial once again.
Right.
And so they were like, that's weird. Like your hand would not have like,
no, you'd have needed massive stitches.
So that's, you know, one of the stories that she tells. So at this point, she has admitted to carving the thing on her hand, her story, which the thing about not knowing right away and then remembering later, that part, okay, that could be.
Yeah.
Right. But then this whole thing keeps like changing. So they end up arresting her. So on April 6th of 2018, which was 2 weeks after the attack, they,
so close to my birthday.
I know. On the last month, or the last case I did too, I'm like, oh, that's weird. I thought about that when I was looking this up. So they charge her with first degree intentional homicide. Okay. So that's in April. So then the trial doesn't even start. Obviously, you know, it takes forever until October 15th of 2019. So 18 months after the crime. So much for a quick and speedy, whatever.
Speedy trial.
I'm like, I don't know about that. So when they went to court, the prosecution basically said that this was just going to come down to if they believed Ezra's story.
Right.
Because Alex was not even here to tell his side. So, you know, they think that they,
Ezra's clearly not a reliable source or witness either. So
yeah, so the prosecution, they did have a pretty strong case built. So their theory was they believed that Ezra had killed Alex in hope of preventing him from getting in the way of her and Jason rekindling their relationship.
Or then again, if you think about it, if she tells Jason that Ezra or Alex attacked her,
he's going to feel sorry for her. He's going to
feel sorry for her. She went through this whole traumatic experience. Maybe he's going to be there for her.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. So they lay out this series of events that they, you know, believe happened. So they're going to use all that as their evidence. So based on the blood evidence that they found, they believe that Alex was stabbed outside the car, not inside the car, like she had initially said. He had no defensive wounds, and based on the placement of the wounds, they think that she most likely came up behind him.
Oh.
And he was not expecting that. So after she had stabbed him multiple times, he was near dead, but they think he crawled back to the car and climbed back in trying to get away from her. Like, how sad.
That's so sad. I know. Then it makes me wonder, though, like, even if she came up behind, like, did he didn't try to fight back at all? Then he just tried to get away?
And I think, I want to say, I wish I would have put this in there. I think, though, they said her first, when she stabbed him first, I think it was, like, the neck or something that I think it was, like, he was still, I mean, you know.
I'm at that point, you're in shock. And if it's a serrated blade.
Yeah. How awful. So, that's, you know, they said he climbed to the car to get away from her. And they believe that Ezra planned on leaving him behind the whole time and driving off. But she couldn't drag him out of the car. Hence why his body was hanging out of the car. Because it was muddy. It was whatever. And I think she was like, shit, I gotta go. You know, this isn't working how I wanted. So, after Ezra ends up leaving, it appeared, though, that Alex was still alive. Because when they found his body, he had a scarf wrapped around his neck, and they believe he had used that in hopes to stop the bleeding.
Oh, that's isn't that really sad?
I know. So sad. So they even said that none of the stab wounds were lethal enough, so she could have saved him. So there was no indication that she had helped him. They said based on the wounds, if she had taken him in right away, they probably could have saved him. Lived.
Like, no one wound itself was fatal. Mm-hmm. Like, even the neck wound.
I know. And the head, it said, too. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess for a certain amount of time, you can probably survive, depending on how far in. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was my thought, too. I was like, I thought that the neck, for sure, too. Like, just
especially
all your
with
arteries.
Especially with a serrated blade. Unless she somehow missed.
I don't know.
Any major artery there. I know.
Weird. So, that's even
sadder. But then how cold it got overnight, too. Like,
yeah. You would think that would help with, like,
keeping the blood flow, yes, because that was kind of like one of the things with my case with the little kids. Mm-hmm. But then again, with that many stab wounds, though, if you lose that blood, your body's going to get too cold.
Yeah, that's so true. So that was sad. I was really sad when I read that part about the scarf thing, like him trying to save himself, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and they talk to his family, and the family, they even said, even just knowing that was awful because they know he suffered, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't, like, just a quick thing.
It wasn't a quick thing. He was aware.
Yeah. So, she clearly did not help him. So, they said that based on the timeline, too, of when this happened, from the time the cops had left to the time she showed up at the dairy farmer's house, there were at least 3 hours unaccounted for. They said that this is when they believe she arranged evidence to make it look like Alex had attacked her. She went as far as staging it, moving items around, placing bloody footprints, and even cutting and stabbing herself and her clothes.
Wow.
Is that a little bit crazy or what? So, all the while, I just picture him basically bleeding out, you know? Like, it's very sad. So, they also highlighted inconsistencies in Ezra's stories with the crime scene, such as things that she had changed. So from her initial interview, you know, of certain things that she said to the trial. So she had initially had said that her hand, the cut thing with her hand, she said she cut her hand when she was trying to get the knife out of him because he was holding her. And when she did get out of, like, his hold, she grabbed the knife from him. But then at the trial, she testified that she had decided to knee him in the groin and he dropped the knife, and that she instantly grabbed it and started stabbing him anywhere and everywhere she could.
I mean, at that point, you have a defense lawyer to tell you what you did.
Right. And it's like,
those are
okay.
Big changes.
Like, they even said that they think she was so wrapped up in all these different lies, she just couldn't keep them straight, you know?
Yeah.
And so she says that. So that was one of their first things. So then she even said that he had attacked her in the backseat of the car, but the blood evidence proved that everything happened outside the car. She also said that it happened at Owen Park, which is opposite of where her car and Alex were found. I'm not sure how far away,
right.
But the prosecution said that they think this was an attempt for her to direct the authorities the wrong way from the crime scene. The knife used in the attack was confirmed, though, that it came from Ezra's dad's house. When he testified, her dad, he had stated that he had previously given her knives, and this knife was very, very sharp and serrated at the end. I don't know why her dad just gave her knives, didn't really say, but they confirmed that it came from him. I mean,
I've given my sister a pocket knife.
Yeah, I mean,
to be safe. Like,
right.
You have a
it could be for anything, too.
Yeah.
Like,
Like, is this a pocket knife? Is it just a knife? Is it a hunting knife? I mean, there's any sort of things. But for protection, you have a young woman who's alone. And then, like, if she had told her dad she had been sexually assaulted.
Right. He probably, that's true.
You know, was like, here, you take this. Listen, when I was a teenager and I was hanging out with my cousin and his group of friends, he was like, here's a knife. What you do is like, you go for between the ribs and you twist.
Yeah. You like, know? You never know.
So,
who knows? Yeah. So, I mean, they can confirm, I guess. I mean, I think they already knew at that point that that knife was the one used in the attack. But yeah. I don't know. Any little bit they can tie to her, I think, is helpful. So they even had the ER doctor that first treated her when she went in after the attack. He testified that the knife wounds had been characteristics of self-inflicted wounds. He also said that if she had grabbed the knife by the end, like she claimed, her hand would have been way more injured. With that kind of a knife, it would have been flayed, like we said earlier. Right. But he confirmed that. So he also testified that when she first came in, she said she didn't know what had happened and kept asking for Jason over and over. So kind of a cry for attention for Jason, it seems.
It definitely seems like this all stemmed from her wanting to make Jason pay attention to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, poor Alex,
I know,
was a means to an end.
Yeah. They say this was, like, you know, especially a love triangle, but then they're, like, actually it's, like, a square. Because if you put that John character in there, it's, like, just but a weird mess. But it's almost not
even that, because this is comes down to her not... Jason didn't want anything to do with her, and she blamed Alex for it. John was just this weird blip.
Right. I know. That part of the story kind of, like, that's why I'm, like, well, it's not a big part, but I guess it kind of lays out her history with... stories. I mean, yes, lying, trying maybe, to get attention, I don't know. Maybe. But maybe it did really happen, and that's what, like, set her
that
off.
That one's a
don't
whole...
know.
I mean, that's a whole situation. But if she's going so far as to murder someone to try to get Jason's attention, I mean...
Clearly.
It makes, like, it hard to find her as a credible person for the initial thing. So maybe when she was like, no, I made it up, that seems kind of more likely then.
Yeah, that's why I was like, well, we're gonna put that in here, because it kind of all ties together.
Yeah.
But that... Yeah, so that's... That's a lot of that. So, during the trial, lots of people that observed her behavior said it was very, very odd. She appeared to almost be enjoying the trial and had no fear. She was often seen, like, laughing and joking with her lawyers.
So, she clearly thought she was going to get away with
it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. When, I know I was going to talk about this later, but even, like, at this point, they said that when she went to testify, when they asked her her name and to spell it, she just, like, lights up. And smiles, like, this is her time for attention. And she loved it. It was very bizarre. Like, what? And I think she really thought that she was just believable. I don't know. But so, and then kind of in line with that. So when Jason gets called to testify for the prosecution, he said it had been, you know, 18 months and he had even seen her. And that when he walked in, she was so taken by him and just seemed like she was trying to impress him. She was, like, in a weird trance.
In court?
Yes. He said when she was on the, or when he was on the stand, you know, they asked him to identify her and identify what, something that she was wearing. So he points to her and says she was wearing a pink blazer. Shortly after that, she takes off the blazer and is wearing this green sweater that he had bought her in the past. And he said, I don't know what her tactic was. It was so weird. He's like, I don't know if she was trying to, like, confuse me or what. And she just, I mean, in this documentary, I highly recommend watching it, because you see the footage of it, and she is just, like, smiling and, like, looking at him and, like, kind of flipping her hair and stuff.
Like,
and I'm
flirting.
Like, dude, what the hell? Yes. So, so, so weird. But that's, I'm surprised she took the stand, but I guess in this case you almost have to if you're claiming it was self-defense.
Right.
So,
that's a difficult...
Yeah, so...
That's a difficult situation.
The defense, you know, they say that their whole stance that they were going to take was that Alex was actually angry that Ezra did not want him, and he was forcing himself on her and attacking her, and she was fighting for her life. Okay, so they said the reason that there were differences in her stories from the beginning until the trial was because she had suffered severe trauma that had affected her memory. They told the jury that she was the victim defending herself. Which, okay, we know they're going to go that route.
Like, how big of a person she is, how big Alex is.
She's pretty small. I mean, she looks little. And Alex, I mean, most of the pictures I saw, it's just his face. So it's kind of hard. They don't really describe body type. But I don't think he was a big guy at all.
Either. I don't know. At this point, it kind of sounds like defense would have been better off trying to plead insanity.
I know. Because, I mean, if she's that rageful and whatnot, just like a psycho just going crazy, like, on him, I mean, with a knife, it's like, well, yeah, they would have been way better off doing that. But,
I mean, I can see why they pled self-defense, but really, if you got stabbed from, like, they're going to be able to tell if it was from behind or not, and so.
And I think that she really thought that she was, like, they believed her, you know? And that shows the whole
sometimes when you have those people who lie so much, they believe their own lies, and so they start to think that everyone believes them, and maybe she's got some narcissism in there.
I think so. I think this case goes a lot deeper with mental health, too.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it never really talks about her going to therapists or anything. Yeah. I don't know that there was, I mean, after she said, you know, this alleged attack, I'm like, that would probably be a good opportunity to see a therapist. But it's not like you can force someone to do that either. So, like I said, she, you know, takes the stand in her trial, and she just loved the attention the whole time. And she said that she stabbed Alex in self-defense and that she just wanted to get away from him. She really just seemed like she was faking tears the whole time and kind of just like whiny almost, you know? Mm-hmm. So then they asked her to describe, you know, her relationship with Alex prior to this whole thing. She claimed that their sex was just very, quote, vanilla, and that she wanted him to be open to trying different things. So they explored S&M, and so she wanted him to have a knife, and then they would both be blindfolded. So clearly here, she's trying to paint a picture of something.
Yeah.
And she, it was just weird. And even Alex's family, like, they were super upset. They said, okay, it's bad enough that we're going through losing, like, our child, but now his name is being dragged through the mud about stuff that, like, maybe they're like, we don't even want to hear. It doesn't even matter what they were into sexually. Right. You don't want to hear that, and you don't need to hear it in a negative way. You know, I mean, unfortunately, that's just what trial is like. But she just was describing it like he was always kind of violent and stuff during sex, and she encouraged him to explore that side. Okay. So that she's, and then she said, sorry, I got a little off track there. I was just, it's so crazy, this whole thing. So sorry, I kind of forgot where I was at here. Sorry. Oh, here we go. Yeah, go ahead, though. Sorry.
I was like, so she tells, that's so weird, though, to say that as vanilla. She wanted him to do this, and then all of a sudden he was violent.
I was like, okay, that's not vanilla. You don't go from vanilla to
S&M.
Yeah,
or
like,
BDSM.
I was trying to think of a weird ice cream mix that's weird, and that was it. Nothing's coming to me. You don't go from vanilla to
Rocky Road. Yeah.
There you go, Rocky Road. Yeah, so that kind of just doesn't even make sense either, but
I mean,
so she says that she had hoped that after her and Alex had talked that day that they could still remain friends. So she said that that's when they were talking and the car got stuck in the mud. She said, and that spawned her anxiety, and her anxiety upset Alex, and then the attack started. So that was her layout of
so because she got anxious, he got mad?
Yes.
Instead of being like, hey, it's cool, we can push this out?
Yeah, because I think he's mad. She's trying to say he's mad, too, that they're not going to be together. But from the sounds of it, they weren't together anyway.
Right, it sounds like they hadn't been together for a while.
There's a lot of weird holes in this story, which, I mean, makes sense because it's obviously a lot of lies. But both sides, you know, presented their cases. So the prosecution closed with saying that Ezra had intentionally taken Alex out there to kill him. They said, although she stabbed him multiple times, the final fatal blow was when she took his cell phone when she left, so he was unable to call anyone
for help. I
was
going to say, she had to have taken his cell phone then, because
and she
was
even,
going straight to voicemail.
She accidentally broke it. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, trying to, I don't know what she was, even her story doesn't make sense on that, because I had read a couple different things that she tried saying happened to his phone, but they said that that was just brutal.
Because if he had still had his phone, he could have been saved. Mm-hmm.
So they said that was her final act of just being
that was what psycho. Killed him.
Yep. Ultimately, they said that was like the final blow. So that's how they closed. The jury goes to deliberate, and within 3 hours, they already reach a verdict. Generally, when that happens, yeah, you know it's always going to be a guilty verdict. Yeah. Like, let's be honest. So on November 1st of 2019, Ezra was convicted and held in jail until her sentencing. When the verdict was read, she just seemed utterly shocked. She really thought she was going home that night. You could tell. She thought she had gotten away with it. So then on February 7th of 2020, at her sentencing, Ezra, first of all, she comes in with a completely different look. Before, she had this long, really pretty, curly hair. It's cut super short now, which, I mean, she's been in prison, you know, or jail, I guess. But she doesn't even look the same. So I think that was kind of a ploy, too, because she cries and cries at the sentencing, reads a statement where she apologizes to the family, and she says that sorry wouldn't even cut it. And she regrets it, and she's so, so sorry. And it was kind of weird, too. Like, the way she read it seemed very fake. But when you don't know someone, it's, like, hard to know.
Right.
But get this. This judge was brutal. The judge straight up said her apology was not sincere.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So she gets sentenced to life in prison, eligible for parole after 50 years. So her mom even pleads with the court at the sentencing just for them to grant her daughter the possibility of parole after 20 years. The judge was like, nope. So I'm like, the fact that even 50 years, like, she shouldn't even get that.
No, I don't feel like she should get parole at all.
No, which, I mean, she'll be 70, you know, by that time, but still.
I mean, because if she was found guilty of first degree murder. Yes.
Why is that a thing? Like, I know each state, I know, are different, but some of these, yeah.
And she's an adult, because I know, yeah. I think a lot of states now are like, there was something like federally, like, if you're a minor and you commit a crime like that, they have to give you the possibility of parole.
Yeah.
But she wasn't a minor.
No. And at this time, too, now she's probably 22, 23.
Yeah, but she was still at least 19 or 20 when she did it. She was 20. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she still wasn't a minor. Yeah.
So it's like, you're still old enough. They charge a lot of juveniles as adults. So this isn't even.
But I think when they charge them as adults, they're still, because they're juveniles, have to be given parole.
Oh, yeah.
Or the opportunity for parole. There's something about it. I saw something about it recently. I don't remember for sure.
Yeah.
But that seems weird that she would get any chance of parole.
That's kind of what I thought, but who knows? And it'll be interesting down the road to see if anything changes with that, because I'm sure, you know.
I mean, that's still so new, so she's got to have a lot of appeals still and stuff like that.
So who knows? But so then at the sentencing, too, Alex's aunt said in an impact statement that she read, she said to Ezra, throughout the trial, we never saw any sign of sadness, shame, compassion, or even the slightest bit of remorse for what you have done. So the family, not interested in her apology. So she's currently incarcerated at, okay, wait for it, Techida? Is that how you would say that?
Yeah, that's how I'd say it. Okay.
Techida Correctional Institution in Fond du Lac.
Fond du Lac?
Is what I was saying. I was like, I meant to look things up. These are the
Fond du Lac.
Yeah. Okay, so and that's in Wisconsin. I just wanted to add that because people from there will obviously know where that is. I don't. But another thing that was interesting that they pointed out too was that Ezra's Instagram page on her profile, her quote was, "I am the fox, a tricky one."
Oh.
So she clearly thought she was tricky enough to get away with murder, but wasn't. So
no.
I thought that was a little ironic. So of course, that's the case of Ezra, but you don't really want to focus on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it highlights
in
a lot of that.
This one, I mean, even though she was the murderer, like.
Right. That's, I mean, it's a lot of it. So I was like, well, I felt like I couldn't find a ton on Alex, but when I did, I was like, I think that's a good way to kind of end.
Yeah.
To kind of talk about him a little bit more, because we don't really have a lot on him thus far. So, like I said before, on that documentary, Alex's dad and grandpa, they talk about him and what a good kid he was. He was the oldest of four, and he absolutely loved his siblings. he loved playing the role of big brother, and he was their biggest supporters. You know, and then they showed pictures of him at all of his siblings, like, concerts and, you know, school activities, and you could tell they just were close. They said that he loved bugs and spiders because gross. He decided, I know, but he loved all the things that other people hated, and he would take care of them. I was like, okay, that's like a sweet way to look at it. I don't like bugs and spiders, so I'm glad he did. Bugs
are
one thing,
spiders are another. I get they're good for the world. I just don't want to see them, okay?
I know. I agree. So, he was deeply committed to helping people, just like he had wanted to do with Ezra initially when they first started, you know, hanging out and became friends. So they asked the people, you know, interviewers asked Alex's dad if he forgives Ezra for what she did. And Alex's dad said that he has been forgiven, so he forgives her, and it's that simple. He just wants Alex to be remembered as someone who loved everyone, was always there to help others, and he wanted everyone to smile.
Aww.
So I was like, wow, that's like a big, I mean, your own child, you know? So they even talked to Jason, too, at the end of the documentary and asked him about Alex, and he just describes Alex again as a guy with a huge heart. He said, unfortunately, it made it easy for Ezra to manipulate him because of his heart. Jason said he's always going to feel responsible and wishes that he could go back in time because he feels like he missed something when he had went to that house when he initially knew something was off with Ezra that day.
Mm.
He said that he thinks of both Ezra and Alex all the time, and it did not need to end the way that it did.
No.
Which, can you imagine feeling that way, though, knowing that you were the person, not like, and it, it's not his fault at
no,
all, but just living with
choice.
That, feeling
yeah.
like that, that's to awful that like she that. Did that.
Yeah.
I mean, put him in that situation too, you
right.
know?
Right.
So that's just a very, very sad case. And I wanted to do something. I mean, you most often hear about a male.
Right.
Or, you know, a female. And so, like, this one immediately made me think of the Jodi Arias case.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very, I mean, similar in that way. And so I was like, okay, this is a good one because it's not like the ones I've done in the past.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just sad. And I did want to give the information as far as domestic violence and all that. So I started kind of looking at that website. And one thing that was cool, when you open the website, immediately, like, a disclaimer pops up and says, this will show up in your search history. If you need, or if you're trying to hide this from someone, please instead call this number or something.
Oh,
and I
okay.
was like, that's cool. I mean, yeah. that they tell people, because I'm sure some people don't think of that, and that could be, like, enough
right.
to
mm-hmm.
kill them. So the website is www.thehotline.org/get-help. I mean, I'm sure, too, you can just Google domestic violence
yeah.
and everything will pop up. The phone number there is 1-800-787-3224, and there's two different numbers they gave, so I'm just going to give both. 1-800-799-SAFE, which is 7233. Also, if you don't want to talk on the phone, you can always text them. You would just text the word START to 88788. So as far as that story, it's not a lot of domestic violence, but the way it ends, I mean, I don't know. And you never know if there was more domestic violence that
well,
went on prior to it.
Well, especially if she's saying she was trying to encourage some BDSM.
Yes.
Like, was she aggressive towards him? Did she manipulate him in things? You know?
Yeah.
That's so difficult to say.
It is. And it was just such a sad one, you know? And I don't know how I didn't hear of this when it happened.
Yeah.
Because when I found it, I was like, this is kind of a big deal.
Well, because the fact of the matter is it's typically, if it's not, if the victim isn't a pretty white woman or a young white child,
you don't hear about it. Yeah.
When the victim's a male, I mean, you do to an extent, but, like, it's not the big news.
Yeah.
If it's a person of color, if it's a child of color, or if it's a male victim,
mm-hmm.
even, unless it's, like, a male killing, I don't know. Like, Jodi Arias got a lot of time.
I know.
But
just,
that's because I think people thought Jodi Arias was a pretty, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, to each their own on
you know.
Types. But I think that one was interesting, too, because it was, or they found, like, the camera in the washer. Like, there was a lot of weird
there
evidence.
There was a lot of weird. Wasn't there her, didn't she travel in a diaper and stuff, in a wig?
I don't know about the diaper thing, but I know she did drive from, I watched a thing on her probably, I don't know, a couple years ago, so I can't remember the details.
Like 90% sure she wore a diaper, so she didn't have to stop.
No, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, her thing was, it was very bizarre, and he was a good-looking guy.
Right.
I mean, that's the other thing. Yeah.
So, if you're not...
And just, like, the conventional good-looking.
Yeah.
How brutal that was. Ugh.
Yeah.
So, if you do want to watch that documentary, we'll add in the info, but I will tell you, on Paramount Plus, they do, like, a free... You can do, like, a free trial for a week. Not gonna lie. I did that with, like, a different email. I've done it before, and I had to use a new one to watch it, because I saw that there was a documentary on it. So, it was a 48 hours episode. It was season 34, episode 21, and it was called The Case Against Ezra McCandless.
All right.
So... That it was actually a really good one. I mean, you can only put so much in an hour, and there was a lot of information that I found elsewhere that wasn't in that. But it's kind of interesting just to see everyone involved in their mannerisms and stuff, you know? So I highly recommend that one. And awesome. I mean, just a weird.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of that one. So that's. I have to go in and watch that episode.
Yeah. It was. Very interesting. And I'm sure there's a lot of other cases out there like that we just don't know. I had to dig, I mean, very far trying to find this. Yeah. I almost gave up on Wisconsin, and I was like, I'm doing a different state. But then...
I know, because we had that brief moment of both of us looking at Oklahoma, because there was a miscommunication.
I know, and I was like, I'm glad we talked about it beforehand, because I was getting ready to start doing it, and then you said, I'm looking up cases for my next one, Oklahoma. And I was like, what? okay. But then I found this one shortly after, so
I guess you guys know the next date is Oklahoma. Yeah, by the way,
unless Cassie, you know, at the last minute can't find something that she doesn't want to do. One,
I guess a little preview, not even preview, I'm not going to go into detail. I found one, it's a newer one, and so there's not a ton of info, but I feel like because of what it is, it's good to highlight it now. So I'm trying to get a little bit more background info, but my next one might not be as super long as well, but it felt like something that I feel like needs to be covered because I weirdly hadn't heard of this, and it's a very new thing. So I want to draw attention to it.
I'll have to see. I wonder if it's something I found, because I feel like I know every single case now.
I stopped this, well, because I found that one, and you're like, I'm like, have you heard of the serial killer?
I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
But only because I googled. Because I'm like, no, trust me, when I said I looked at every state, I looked at every state, and all of them were like, you know, BTK and stuff, when I started looking at Kansas, and then, like, the Girl Scout thing, and I was like, no, I don't, and those ones, I mean, are interesting, because I know, just because we're, like, the weirdos that know all the serial killers, like, other people don't.
BTK is still one that's a very well-known.
Yeah, I mean, well, told my mom, and she was like, who?
Sorry, what?
Yeah, but she's, like, not into that, you know what I mean?
Okay, but he was, like, just caught in 2005.
I know. But, you know, people that aren't weird like us don't care.
But that's not weird. Okay. Well, first of all, fortunately, I found out. So I got tattooed for, like, 8 hours yesterday.
So jealous.
First, we watched, because my tattoo artist he has a TV and watches stuff. So we watched the second season of Russian Doll, which was fantastic.
Okay. I'll have to finish. I started the first season and I was struggling.
But then he's into true crime too. And I was like, FYI, we have a podcast. He's like, yeah, your sister told me last time she was here. But then we watched Catching Killers or something like that.
Oh, yeah. That one's good.
I hadn't watched those yet.
On there, right?
I don't know. BTK was the very first one.
Oh, yeah. You should watch, though, because I think there's two episodes on the Golden State Killer.
Oh, it's probably. Really, it's a very long one, I bet.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, you probably watched all these. I'm like, no, there's so many out there that I haven't watched yet. So we were watching that.
Yeah. I'm the loser that, like, I saw it and I got so excited. I started watching and I was thinking, gosh, I've seen this. Then I remembered, like, I don't know, a few months ago, I had already watched this whole show. And I was like, that's why it's familiar. And I was like, oh no, I need a new show.
We watched a little bit of the new Unsolved Mysteries too, but I've seen all of those. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I'm struggling with finding something new to watch. So,
I've got some recommendations, but they're not true crime or stuff like that. Nah. Like,
no, it depends. Sometimes I'm in a very mood of like, I need all the dark things.
Well, I've been in this weird horror movie and horror showcase. Right. So like, if you guys have suggestions for the creepy, not so much super gory, I can handle some, but not a ton, but give me your creepy thrillers. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm all about that right now. I don't know why. My artist did tell me about this movie called Deep Water with Ben Affleck on Hulu.
Oh yeah. I watched it.
haven't yet.
I am such a loser. Okay, I would just like to add, I know I don't have a life, apparently, but I work from home. So I either have music playing, or sometimes I'll just have a show playing in the background.
No, I know lots of people who do that.
Yeah, I have watched so many things. Mm-hmm. Like, it was actually, I mean, it was pretty good. I want to talk about the ending with someone, so if you want to go ahead and
watch it. Okay, I'll watch it.
I forgot about that one.
I'm trying to think. I need you to watch Choose or Die on Netflix.
That's right. You've told me about it a couple times, yeah. And I keep forgetting.
Listen, okay. I'm not saying it's the best horror movie, but I still kind of want to discuss it with someone.
Oh, yeah. I'll watch it for sure.
Like, there are things I want to critique a little bit about it, but I'm also be like, listen, it was a good idea.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have done better with it.
The other one you asked me about that I keep meaning to tell you I watched a long time ago, is it called The Other Woman, the HBO one?
Oh, The Girl Before.
Oh, yeah. Not even close. The Girl Before. Yes, I had watched that also. I think I watched it at the same time you did, maybe, because you were talking about it.
Because there's only 4 episodes.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, I watched it too, and I keep meaning to talk about it with you. I know you guys probably don't care, but for those of you who are into those kind of things, that was a good watch.
It was a good watch.
I feel like it was rushed at the end as well. Yes.
So the whodunit of it all was a bit rushed, but...
And I was like,
I still liked the way they wrapped it all up, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just felt like the character developments were really good.
It was. And it was like, it was one of those, I had no idea what it was about going into it, so I was really like,
I felt like they needed to just do one more episode so that whodunit wasn't so rushed the way they did.
It was all of a sudden like,
psh, it was done. Just bam. Yeah. But with that exception, I thought it was good.
Yeah. I thought it was good, too. And it was like something, not different, but it was... It was an easy watch, you know?
Yeah, it was. I liked it. A little bit more of that mind, who did it, is it this, you think you know, and
yes,
then...
Yes, that was a good one. Yeah. HBO Max.
Yes.
Man, but we could just do a whole list of all of our
shows. But yeah, you guys, give me... Like, Archive 81, I loved that one so much. I'm sad.
I know, the only reason I haven't watched it is because I know they canceled it. So I'm like, I don't want to get all into
it. I'm trying to bring myself to listen to... I started listening to the first episode of the podcast, which a lot of the people were like, the podcast was better.
Oh, was it? Okay, well...
But I'm like, but was it because the actor was phenomenal?
Maybe I'll have to watch it.
You should probably still watch it. I mean, it kind of leaves you in this thing, but it's still. Just watch it, please. Okay. I'm just going to need you to watch it still.
Okay. I'll watch it.
All right. So we'll stop talking about that stuff.
Yeah.
You guys, though, email us.
Yes.
To say hi. To give us show suggestions.
To review us.
To review. Give us your stories.
Yes.
Paranormal, true crime, anything, murder, mystery, and the unexplained.
Yeah, any other, I mean, we love all the Nebraska ones too, but if anyone has any from any of the other states in the Heartland area, please send them.
Yes.
Because even if we don't do them right away, and once we get back to these states, I mean, as you could tell, I struggle to find a Wisconsin case. So like any other state
and stuff. And if you have sent us stuff, we've gotten us so much Nebraska stuff. We promise we're making a list. We're going to get to that. But especially with Nebraska, like Nebraska's naturally probably going to get covered just a little bit more because we're both from here.
Yep.
But we do. We want to cover these other states. So if you guys can please just send us, if you know of something that maybe is not as well known or maybe you think it is well known, but you don't know, like still send it to us because especially those other states.
Yeah.
We just don't know. And you know, it's not to say that we won't do well-known cases.
Right.
But I know, at least for me personally, like when I've been looking, like when I was looking at Oklahoma, I was trying to find things that weren't as well-known.
Yes.
Because the one you were telling me about, the Valentine's Day card, I have heard on a couple different other podcasts.
See, and that's, even this one I did today, I saw it was on a couple podcasts already.
Yeah. But it's still, I don't know how well-known it is. The one I know. Anyways. But so just let us know, like... Give us your ideas, you guys. You can email us heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com or feel free to message us on Facebook or Instagram. We'll post I always post that in the show links. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to blather on about it. But also, you guys, we found out a couple weeks ago, we were really close to top 200 in the Apple True Crime Podcast. We've dropped to like 240. But for being a brand new podcast, again, two women on a phone in a car in a garage, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So we're still figuring out the details, but we would love to get to like top 200. So if you guys could rate, review... all those fun things.
It's so easy. Just scroll down what you're done in. Yeah.
We're going to figure out some sort of giveaway. Mm-hmm. I think if we hit 200, you know, we'll have something where to enter, you just send us proof of your reviews. Mm-hmm. And then what we're going to give away, we don't know yet.
Yeah.
That's what we're still figuring out. But you know, it helps us out so much, you guys. Rate and review wherever you're at, not just Apple.
That's, yeah,
anywhere. Anywhere you listen to your podcast, if it allows for rating and reviewing, please do so.
Because that helps us out a lot, and it helps us get...
It'll help us so that we can eventually maybe get some sponsors.
Sponsors, that's the word I was thinking. I can't think of the word.
You know, because if we can kind of make this something where, I mean, we're never going to make this a thing where it's put behind a paywall. Like, we're not going to make it so you have to pay to listen to us by any means. But if we can start to get ads, then what we can do, like I know a lot of podcasts do, is like we can have a Patreon. And if you have the Patreon, then you get ad-free shows and stuff like that.
Some fun merch occasionally.
Yeah, because we'd like to be able to, one, I mean... The whole thing of us being able to get ads is so we can put this money into our podcast to
We're not going to, like, make a profit off
of it. No, we're not. Right. We're not looking to become rich and famous off of this by any means. But we want to be able to put money back into the podcast to pay for it. Because, I mean, the softwares that we get, like, we do have to pay for, you know, and that's just coming out of our pockets right now. So if we get ads and that's just becomes a wash, that would be really nice for us. So we could, you know... upgrade our equipment, things like that, you know. You know, not
record in a car, you know,
in a phone,
it's fine.
I mean, that's why I upgraded my phone, so if we have to keep using my phone, same. That was my
got new phones, so you know,
I mean, it's not here just yet. I'm choice, still waiting,
but mine just, my other one broke, so
mine apparently decided that because I've upgraded, it's gonna start being a jerk to me now until my new one comes. That's I wonder if I would have said that I wanted the Max if they would have had it in stock. I is like, yours the 250 or the 500?
If that clicks. I don't know. I think it's the 250.
Well, I was going to say that I said they didn't get very much. They don't get very many of the 500. So even in the Pro, it probably wouldn't have.
I love the Hunter Green, though.
That's the one I got.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I wanted the blue, I wanted the blue, but it was on back order, and I didn't want to wait that long for it.
The guy was like, you don't know, it's worth it for whatever color you want to wait. And I was like, no it's actually not.
Because I put a case on it.
I know, exactly. That was
cute. Yeah, it's cute. I like the Hunter Green. But I was like, listen, I put a case on it.
Exactly.
There's no, like, the color doesn't matter that much. No. Okay, well, we're getting off.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, you guys.
We'll talk about anyways, this after.
Rate and review.
Yes, please.
Please.
Pretty, please.
But until next time, be Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.